Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dax Xavier Josiah, the host of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the podcast. You want to catch up with all of our podcast shows and hear from some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games, such as...
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
This is Ruben Langdon, voice of Ken Masters and Dante from Devil May Cry.
Hey there, this is Kyle Abear, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Here's your chance to check out all of that and more on TalkTimeLive.com. TalkTimeLive.com provides all of our ACMG content with new and previous episodes, exclusive interviews, articles, and much more. Visit TalkTimeLive.com and let us help you learn to let go, live life, and love all things ACMG.
Talk Time Live!
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon, and in the name of the moon, you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
It's time for your Talk Time Live exclusive.
You are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
Folks, I am honored to have on the show today artist and designers Deanna Trin, Marissa Diaz, my apologies, and Tabari Davis representing the organization known as Gameheads. If that name sounds familiar to you, it's mostly because in connection of Insomniac Games, and the release of their much-anticipated update to Spider-Man 2, which not only gives us, finally, new game plus and other great updates, but also a specially made skin known as the Flying Fresh Suit Pack, which is available for $4.99 right now. Proceeds of the DLC will go to Gamehead's organization, which is an organization that empowers youth of color and low-income youth with the ability to become involved in the video game industry, something I've been talking about forever. So... they are here to talk about their involvement with Insomniac Games on this and some awesome in this awesome project, as well as bring some much needed inclusion to the gaming industry. And we're here to talk about all of that. So please welcome all of them to Talk Time Live exclusive. How is everybody doing?
Doing good.
Doing great.
All right. So Tabari, I'm going to go to you first with this. First of all, ladies, happy National Women's Day. First of all, I just want to put that out there.
Go women. So shout out,
there you go. Shout out to y'all. But Tabari, I'm going to go to you first. Can you give us any type of idea how Gameheads actually started with, you know, as far as Damon's inclusion to this and how, you know, a little bit of the history of Gameheads for those who don't know?
So I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm like a day oneer, but for sure Gameheads has had very much like humble beginnings. Like, we started off as kind of what you could see as a, I don't want to say like an after school program because it wasn't really that, but
yeah,
it was just people wanting to make video games and make it accessible to, you know, like young people, right?
Right.
Learning about these things, such as like coding and all that stuff, it's not the most interesting thing to like have to lecture about, so I think Damon, he's some kind of wizard because he makes it palatable to, like, you know, high schoolers, people that are, you know, right, don't really have any idea of necessarily what they want to do, but
right,
we know that we all like video games, right? So yeah, I would, in a nutshell, that's kind of
which
what I say game is,
which I greatly appreciate, because I, you know, those who've listened to my show and followed my show for quite some time, you know, as a black man myself, growing up in the 80s, you know, I'm gonna just put myself out there in my age right now, growing up in the 80s, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, I put, you know, I wanted to, I'm a graphic designer myself. I'm an artist by trade and master. And we didn't see any opportunities, especially up here in the East Coast. You know, we were always having these self-fulfilling prophecies that that is just one area that we can never be. And we never see ourselves on it. You know, it took us up until 2020 to see and know the name of Jerry Lawson, which during a pandemic, it really boiled my brain at the idea that this guy was the reason why we're playing video games the way we are today. And it upset me. So, like, now that I've been advocating this for so long, and when I found out about, thanks to, you know, Insomniac Games for putting you guys out there and finding out about this, I was like, I need to reach out. I need to reach out, praise, support, and thank them, and hopefully we could get this growing and getting it out there, and hopefully get them on the East Side for that matter. It's really dope. I really appreciate it. But it's like, as far as Game Heads is like not only partnering with, you know, Insomniac Games, but you're also partnering with other people, other companies in the game industry. Like, are you guys, you know, you said you were talking about they went to humble beginnings, but now it's grown and evolved to this such a thing, to getting this type of platform and getting this type of support. Are you guys surprised of the amount of support that they are getting? And Tabari, I'll start with you again, because you're not day oneer, but you're still a vet.
Yeah, I'm a veteran for sure. I feel like I've been there for like 7+ years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like 32 now. So yeah, I joined when I was like 24. I think around that time. But hey, man. Yeah, what was the question again?
What was the support? Like, are you surprised at the support that they've been, you know, getting, like, just from Xbox and Insomniac? Yeah. And I mean, I saw the list on the website. It's like crazy.
I would say even like early on, we've had a lot of support. It starts definitely with the developers.
Mm-hmm.
I think my first year at Gameheads, I was being mentored by a guy, his name's Garav, and he worked on like games that I was playing on like PlayStation 1. So to see him, like one time he brought like his sketchbook and he was showing me all his sketches and like concept art, and that was really inspiring. So it really starts with the devs and it sort of trickles up, because I feel like companies that are really about sort of supporting their communities are more willing to like collaborate and write. And we've collaborated with also Double Fine for quite a bit.
Right. Too. I saw that too. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the deal. Like, the reason why I am so indebted as a gamer and a fan to Insomniac, because what they did with Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, especially during 2020 and this recent one, is provided some of the most inclusive amount of content in a game. Like, I give credit to them in Final Fantasy Remake and Rebirth for just showing so much of us, all of us, you know, Black, white, Asian, LGBTQIA, it does, like, everybody feels welcome and included. And especially what they did with Spider-Man 2, I really appreciated what they did in there. And it didn't, just to, for them to keep going by supporting a organization like you guys, it warms my heart. That, you know, it's one thing, like, as a business that they tell you that you need to give back in some form of fashion, they could have went anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they could have went anywhere. They went to you guys and said, let's keep this train going. Let's get them not just playing the games, not just being esport, you know, competitors. Let's get them into creating, because there are artists out there too. There are developers and engineers out there too. I want to see more of it. Every one of us out there doing it. And I greatly appreciate it. And you guys for even being a part of that. So now let's talk about Flying Fresh. I told you guys before I was, you know, before the, you know, our interview started, like I got a chance to play it. You know, it took me a minute to take back, because I'm like, they are rocking like stuff that I used to wear back in the day. And I'm flying around, I'm swinging around and gliding around with them trying to beat Sandman in this gear. But once you get into it, it's like, it's just, I couldn't stop smiling at the idea that, you know, they're wearing these outfits and everything. And it's just like, I really dig this. I really enjoy every part of it. I'm still playing it now. And you know the bad part, because I'm sure all of you have played the game in some form or fashion. At least I hope you did. But once you get started with Spider-Man 2, it's hard to get off.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got a schedule. And I, you know, thank you, Insomniac, for, like, you know, getting me immersed in it again. By the way, this is my third time playing it. So I'll tell you right there. But I really enjoyed it. Diane, well, I'm sorry, Marissa. I thought Diane was going to be here, but Marissa and Diane, and I thought Tiffany was going to be here actually, but there's been a change up on that. But nonetheless, I could talk to you, Marissa, about this. You two worked on aspects of the skin design before we talk further about the contributions of designs. I want to know, like, what were your thoughts? What were going through your thoughts in mind when you had the chance to, like, find out that you were going to be a part of this project? Marissa, I'll start with you.
I thought, oh, no way. Considering that, and after that, I was like, okay, yeah, I really want to try to do this and see what I can prove. Considering that I'm also a 6-7 year gamehead veteran. I'm 29 and I joined when I was 23 and I will be 30 in April.
Hey.
Don't look my age at all.
No, you do not.
It's just the height. But honestly, I felt really, honored and very giddy that I was given this opportunity, considering that a lot of my, I would say cousins and godbrother love Spider-Man. And I know that, if I made something for this, thankfully Insomniac decided to let me work on it, they would be absolutely ecstatic to have something like, you know, in it.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even fathom that being approached to me. And it'll be like one of those moments that, like, you keep it cool, but, like, you go into your room and you just start blitzing out.
Yeah. I think I told the studio, like, with Bobby, the people there, like, what they told me, and I went, oh, wow, do you mind if I step out to kind of just in the house for, like, a second? Given the
news. Kind of figured, they had to figure that was going to happen. Like, you know, do your thing for a minute, come back.
Yeah, like, it's, like, the first ever, like, big AAA thing that I think any of us got to work on. So it was, like, highly, highly exciting.
Right.
The reason my dad thought, my dad's, like, Afro-Cuban, and he thought that I was, he doesn't know the difference from, like, the Spider movies and, like, the game, so he thought I was working on, like, the
right.
game movie, even though it was already out.
Right, right.
I had to clarify, no, it's already out. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, technically speaking, though, you kind of are. I mean, it is some connections to it, at least. To it. So you could kind of just say, like, yeah. I'm within the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Diane, I'll give you the same question. What were your thoughts when they approached you with this?
I was honestly, like, at first I didn't believe it. Like, when Damon, like, told us, like, oh, you guys are going to be working on Spider-Man, I was like, I didn't, like, process it. I was like, okay, Spider-Man.
Right.
And then after the call, I was like, wait, like, Marvel Spider-Man? I was like, wait, is that me? I was like, oh, wait a minute. And it just, like, all hit me. And I was like, if you asked me, like, if I could see myself working with, like, such a big title game, like, when I was back in high school, I would have said no. No way. So this was, like, a huge surprise, a very great honor. And it's, like, a really big learning process, too. So, yeah.
Right. I mean, look, that's the one thing I can relate to you guys on is the fact that, you know, doing what I've been doing for years, I've managed to have my own milestone moments with people I can't even fathom that I would ever be around. It's just an amazing feeling. I empathize with you, all of you, on that. And Tabari, like, first of all, congratulations to you because you're working with Insomniac. You're, like, one of their, you know, graphic designers. And, like, how does it feel to be a part of the actual team, man?
Man, I don't know. It's like, it's a lot for me to take in.
Surreal.
For sure. Yeah. Because I feel like especially when you're in the art space and you're kind of trying to, like, figure things out, it's so hard to, like, break into anything concrete. You know what I mean?
Preach it.
So, yeah, just, like, being alone in my studies for such a long time and now finally getting to be in, like, the workspace with all these amazing people is a truly amazing experience for sure.
I cannot wait to have my wife listen to this interview and hear your response to that because I, you know, again, as a designer and, you know, artist myself, we go through the same deal. And, like, when you're an entrepreneur and you're by yourself, it's like an artist's road it sometimes can be a solo road of your own mind and theory and thought and philosophy and all this stuff and trying to know when that next step is coming. But your passion and love for it really shows. It's like people, I always talk about people who worry about money too much when it comes to what we try to do, all of us try to do. And it's like, it's not about that. They're not going to hire you when you're just trying to look for money. They would hire you because you're so engulfed in what you do and you love what you do that they are more interested. They want to invest in your love. They want to invest in your passion for this. That is why you guys got this opportunity because they invested in your love for all this. It's not because your quality of, it's not just the quality of your work, but just the passion that you put on it. And it, you know, you're there for a reason, and it yeah. definitely shows. But trust me, I get that definitely. Now going back to that, like Marissa and Diane, can you give a little bit of an idea of what your contributions were to the Flying Fresh project? And Diane, I'll start with you.
So my contributions was I made like some little stickers for the sticker pack and that was in the DLC. But we all like had a part in like designing or like pitching our suits to Insomniac, but the main suit was designed by Marissa. So shout out to her.
Love it. And what was your inspiration of that? Like how did you come up with the concept for the actual suit? What inspired you to do the actual, you talked about your age. And I'm pretty sure like I'm double your age to some extent. And I don't remember you being around at the time when you got to put this stuff together. So like, how'd you come up with this old school retro hip hop concept right here?
Who's
you want to go, Marissa? First? You can go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Initially, I was marathoning in Living Color because I didn't grow up with SNL. I watched Living Color like the DVDs. We go to the DVD place and my
mom would get them
and laugh at them. But also, when my dad came here. And you know, got married, and he just loved like the 80s, late 90s style. Like my dad had a flat top.
Yes,
this man is from Cuba, you know,
with the fade, with the fade or without a fade.
With the fade, I think.
There you go.
He, you know, this man had a beeper. I remember growing up where he had a beeper all the time. But
yes,
basically, I thought, you know what? Let me just, for the sake of like having like a suit that makes sound running up the wall, because I thought it'd be really funny. And also, who doesn't love a good tracksuit with geometric shapes? I thought it would be a really fun and colorful suit to make, and you know, it's kind of a little bit of homage to my dad with the era, but especially to In Living Color itself, which I remember there was a YouTube comment underneath the video and somebody said, somebody watched one episode of Living Color and call this like and I went, no, I watched all of them since growing up. But you're half correct on that.
But that is just absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
I did not expect that answer at all. That was beyond my expectations.
I mean, who doesn't love the Wayans brothers?
One of the greatest of all time. Straight up. But, like, more power to you on that. Seriously. I got a question for all three of you, though. All of you are SJSU, San Jose State University students, correct?
Yeah. Almost.
So. Almost.
Yeah.
Oh, congrats. Congrats. Marissa and Diane, you guys are SJSU?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so I'll direct it.
Digital media.
Awesome. I'll direct this to you. What lessons did you that you used for this project that helped out? Marissa, I'll start with you on that one.
Actually, I don't think there was a lot that helped me, because being digital media, we're more into like the coding and technical stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it came from studying a lot of concept art books that I've just collected over the years and studied on my own. So it's kind of very separate from school.
Any philosophical things that might have helped out in terms of like work rate and all the stuff, or
work rate?
In terms of like your determination to get this project done, or how you know go about the project and all the stuff, your thought process, strategy.
I think studying the greats to be great within the concept art books.
Hey.
taking a lot of those, I guess, techniques from them.
Yeah.
And applying them as best as I can intake to them to get like to put out high level concept art for the studio and for Bobby.
Yeah. Diane, what about you?
So when I was on this project, I was a third year animation student. So I applied like a lot of like lessons that my professors taught me like back then. to this project. Like, I think the main thing that, like, was, like, in my mind was, like, to keep it simple, because that's all, like, the professors, like, yes, hound into you. Because you don't want to, like, overfill your design too much or, like, make it too complicated. Mm-hmm. So you just start out simple and then build from that. And then, like, every design element that you add, like, there needs to be a reason why. Like, why does Miles look like this? Why is he wearing this? Like, why is he doing this sort of action? So that's what, like, I was thinking when I, like, I was going through this whole process.
I totally agree with that. Like, part of when I design logos and stuff like that, I keep it subtle, because a lot of times subtlety, it actually makes more noise and makes it, and you're able to see a lot more than it is when you're, like, overly you're overly saturated with, you know, designs here. Although my professors once said, like, if you still need to keep people motivated and captivated by the design that you do. So, and that's what I liked about the designs that, Marissa, that you put together, because you're captivated for more than just a minute. And I was always told by my professor, you know, RIP to him, if you can't be captivated by a work of art for more than a minute, it's a fail. I tend to, when I look at your designs, I look at every aspect, every design, every shape, going back and forth, the hat, you know, the color scheme, all that stuff, like, really kicks it. And it all, there's a lot of balance, the color scheme, the palette, all that stuff. There's a balance. So, I mean, I consider that a success, in my opinion, because it really keeps it captivated the whole time. And I'm looking, and then when it's in motion, it's like, you know, it's hard not to look at, especially with the frame rate so, you know, so big and everything. It's really crazy. But, you know, again, great job on that, and great job on all the designs that you guys have done. It's just a testament of that. And Insomniac chooses right, and I see why in this case.
Appreciate it.
Dabari, like, you do the you're basically doing, like, the final design concept. Can you talk about that a little bit in terms of what that entails, the job that entails, like, once everything is done, you oversee things?
So, essentially, like, we had the initial, like, theme or, you know, sketch layout of what we were going for. And then my job was to look at, like, the anatomy of, you know, the in-game characters and models, and to sort of palette those designs onto them.
Right.
And for me personally, being, like, kind of, like, self-taught, It was very enlightening to be working with the folks from Insomniac, right? Because a lot of times for me, I have my inspirations. I'm sure you see, like, the Keyblade back there.
Yeah,
I'm a huge Tetsuya Nomura fan. And then I got the Guilty Gear playmat back there.
Oh.
So I'm a huge Guilty Gear fan too. And those are, like, super, their designs are super, like, complex, right? But for very Spider-Man, detailed. You can't really have a lot of, like, things hanging off and, like, jingling things, right?
Right.
So I had to sort of curb that and make the design palatable and choose where to add complexity, right, where it could, you know, exist, right? So if you look at, like, the bottom of the shoes, I'm really proud of those, the shoes. Like, the shoes are probably my favorite part to translate over. But yeah, it was quite the task for me.
Yeah, how long so far have you been with Insomniac?
So I started in basically at the beginning of February. So,
oh, literally just started. Wow.
Yeah. I can't even
ask you, what have you learned so far from them? Yeah. Cause you just got in.
Yeah. I just got in, but I'm still learning a lot, to be honest.
Oh, you're going to have a lot of fun. Just the learning folks. Process. Like, again, like, I'm self-taught myself. I was born with the kinesthetic ability to pick up things on a fly, but they teach you in school, man, and you're about to learn this. Like, doesn't matter. You still need to learn how to, you know, hone that skill in and refine it. You know, it's like you're like an X-Men character with, like, a bunch, like, with unstable powers, and you need to just check it in real quick, control it, put it together, make something happen. I think you got some great teachers possibly on your way. Not only that, but with also with Game Heads, you know, helping along that way too. It's like, you know, it's pretty dope.
Yeah.
So, what I'm going to say, like, What do you think, all three of you? Just last question, and thank you once again for stopping by. I really am enjoying the time with you guys, and it's an honor to be able to talk to you guys, and just the fact that you guys exist in the realm of opportunity, it's just fantastic. Really, I'm probably going to, drop a tear when I get off of here at the reality of the idea. And thank Damon, Packwood, for making this happen. And I really got to, get in touch with him to really talk about the organization as well. What do you think you benefited the most from Game Hits in your entire journey? Marissa, I'll start with you. I'll put you on the spot.
Okay. I would say, it's helped me a lot carve out my own path aside from school. Not that it's, not important, but it's right. That I don't think I would be where I am without Game Hits. Mm-hmm. Because there's just something about this program that gives like a third space and is able to be something that isn't school, that really can pipeline you into bigger things right. That I think more students need to be included in, especially like with me, with recruiting people from San Jose State, seeing that same kind of hunger that we all have. Right. It's, they need something like that, which, if they're able to carve out their own path on their own, then they can stand on their own in this industry or trying to get somewhere through Game Hits, I think.
Right. Diane, what about you?
I would say the people that I met through the program. I think everyone in the program is really bright and they definitely have a lot of passion for games. So being able to work in teams with them is it's fun, but you also learn a lot. You learn the process of how games are made or what goes into making games. And just they're fun. They're all fun people. So right. Yeah.
Well, that's a plus. That's a needed plus. And last but certainly not least, Barry, how did Game Hits help? I mean, it's a stupid question, but how did Game Hits benefit? How did you benefit from Game Hits, I should say?
I think for me, one of the biggest takeaways I have from Game Hits is being put in a position that I otherwise wouldn't be. And to expound on that, it's I don't think that by sort of being a hermit in my room, learning from whatever resource I have, right. Not to throw any shade at artists that do that, because it's a huge undertaking, right?
Yeah.
But being put in the unique position to almost have students of my own, I feel.
Right.
Because a lot of students that come there are of varying different experience levels. I often find myself having to show people and teach people different things. That's a humbling experience, and it kind of forces me to be on my A game, because if someone comes to me and asks me a question, then I don't have the answer. Then what does that look like for me? Right.
Right. Right. Did you ever fathom that you would be a mentor per se?
Not really, but in general, I think throughout my life, I do tend to be the listening ear for people. So in some ways it's surprising, in other ways it's not so much.
Right. Well, people, thank you so much for being on this show. This is I'm not even joking about when I say this. This is probably going to be one of my most cherished interviews. And you're talking to somebody who spoke with the cast of My Hero Academia, Bleach.
Wow.
Nine cast members of Naruto. And, this one is sentimental to me because this is answering a question I've been dying for so long, and I'm glad that it exists, and I'm glad that you guys are a part of it, and you guys are excelling as you do, and I wish you the best in all of your future endeavors from this point.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. People, if you want to learn more about Game Hits, please go to their official website at gameheadsoakland.org. Also, if you're definitely in the West Coast region, mind you, and hopefully it'll come to the East Coast, I'm praying for this, or something of that nature comes to the East Coast, because people want to do it. They just need a place to be able to do it, whatever it is in the industry. We just need more of us out there. Also, the Fly In Fresh Suit Pack DLC available now for $4.99. Trust me when I tell you, it's a lot of fun to just have and play around and just, you know, going, you know what you did to me now, right? I'm going to replay that again, but I'm going to have In Living Color music on the background.
It better be season 3's version.
With the Heavy D season 3 one? I'm there. Yeah. I'm with you. I got this. We got this. It's going to loop over and over again. You know, shout out to your pop. Shout out to you for rocking that. You know, you warm my heart with that. So that's a definite deal. But definitely go out of your way, support this, because proceeds of that DLC will go to Game Heads and help future game developers, engineers, artists, graphic designers getting to the game industry. And I always say there's specks of pepper in the sea of salt. We need to balance the seasonings of this industry, and Game Heads seems to be on the path to doing that. So again, thank you guys so very, very much. And I hope you guys enjoyed this very special edition of Talk Time Live exclusive. On behalf of myself and the Game Heads crew, all I gotta say is learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. We are out of here. Take care and keep gaming. This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you in part by Viewfinder's Identity Search and Design, your choice for web design, graphic design, and all multimedia development needs. Visit VFISAD.com and let us bring your vision to reality.